بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن حزنا إذا شئت سهلا. We continue after we stopped at درجة الزهد. We now at منزلة الورع. الورع. الورع normally translate to God-fearing or piety. الورع, it's a level in إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Here, الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله says, mentioning the wording of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم. وقال تعالى وثيابك فطهر. The ayah here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O messengers, eat from the good, halal, pure, wholesome, and do good deeds. Indeed, I am knoweth of what you do. And in the second ayah, he mentioned وثيابك فطهر. قتادة and مجاهد said, نفسك فطاهر من الذنب. وثيابك فطاهر. قتادة and مجاهد, they did not take it literally, meaning and your garment to purify. They took it with the message behind it that your nafs, purify your nafs from sin. So he used indirect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hinting to the nafs from the thawb. And this is what Ibrahim al-Nakhai, Wal-Dhahak and others said. Ibn Abbas said, do not dress your nafs any disobedience or ghadr. Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, do not dress yourself with the garment of disobedience and betrayal. And then he used poetry to prove his opinion, radiallahu anhu. As I would like to mention to you that Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, always uses the Arabic language as a proof. It's from his manhaj, his methodology of tafsir. And that's why he, rahimahu, radiallahu anhu, said, أَمَا سَمِعْتَ قَوْلَ غَيْلَانِ بْنِ سَلَمَ. Haven't you heard the poetry of غَيْلَانِ بْنِ سَلَمَ الثَّقَفِ when he said, إني بحمد الله لا ثوب غادر لبست ولا من غدرة أتقنع. What did he say? He said, this is a poem, this is a verse of poetry. He used it to interpret the Quran. Pay attention to manhaj whom? Ibn Abbas. He said, Ghailan said, a poet, he said, indeed, by the will of Allah, by the blessing of Allah, never dressed my nafs a garment of betrayal, nor I shy away from betrayal, meaning if someone going to betray me, I will stand up, I will not cover my face and run away from it. And in the first verse of the poetry, he said, I've never dressed my nafs a garment of betrayal. So this interprets وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ. Naam. Of course, الضحاك said, عملك فأصلح. الضحاك said, another تابعي said, عملك فأصلح ثيابك فطهر. He interpreted it to be your action, correct your actions. And يعني ابن سيرين said, to purify your clothing, because the مشركين at that time never used to purify their clothing when they used to do عبادات. نعم. طاووس said, وثيابك فقصر. يعني shorten your garment. In what is one of the interpretation of وثيابك فطهر. يعني to wear it above the ankle and don't make it drag on the floor. نعم. نعم. And here, يعني ابن عباس ابن القيم said the first opinion is the correct. نعم. Here he said والورع, what is intended. We're still with ابن القيم. We haven't started with what Al-Imam Al-Harawi said. He said, وَالْمَقْصُودُ مِنَ الْوَرَعِ يطهر دنس القلب ونجاسته. What is intended from al-wara? Why a person have wara? To purify the heart, and to purify it from any impurity, as the wara purify the thawb from impurities. Of course, the wara can mean that you stay away from haram. Araft? As we learned before, there is halal and there is haram and there is in between. The wara can mean to stay away from whatever is in between the gray area. That is called wara, according to many ulama. Naam. And that is why here Ibn al-Qayyim said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected and made the encapsulated wara in a small hadith, without going all through the definition. من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. From the perfection of your Islam is to leave whatever does not concern you. Anything does not concern you, you leave it. Because once you start sticking your nose in things that do not concern you, it'll bring problems to your heart and bring problems to your life and bring problems to you. And that's why rahimahullah said فَهَذَا يَعُمُّ التَّرْكِ. This encompasses the tark, not only from speech, no, from speech, from nazar, to look at things don't concern you. Somebody is going with his phone and typing, you go, type. صح. That's not from wara. Leave it alone. What could to do? He's looking. You know, so for example, you see some brothers, someone salat just finished, he pulls out his phone, he wants to reply, maybe, you know, his wife waiting for him, the brother. من حسن إسلام المرء لا تنظر إلى ما لا يعنيك. Don't look at things don't concern you. صح. MashaAllah. يعني, the brother will be walking past the house. يا أخي. هذا مما لا يعنيك. يعني it's not your business. It's not your business, don't concern yourself with that. Because it keeps your heart pure. شوف سبحان الله. He said, والاستماع, also to listen to things that do not concern you. If it doesn't concern you, don't turn your ear to it. بس. والبطش, طيب, to strike. والمشي, he said, to walk towards things don't concern you. حتى he said والفكر, even to think of things don't concern you. How do you think? يعني there is an issue between Abdullah and Muhammad. أنت يا أحمد, I wonder what they're arguing about. I wonder whether you spend 40 minutes thinking about other people's business and you try to derive things and make things and assume things and then it start to cause you, maybe it's my fault, maybe it's me. Now, so here he said, from perfection of Islam, anything that does not concern you, don't even think about it. Now, he said, Ibrahim bin Adham, rahimahullah, said, al-wara'u tarku kulla shubha. He said, al-wara' is to leave every misconception. Everything is in the Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Huraira, he said, Ya Aba Huraira, kun wari'an takun a'bada an-nas. Ya Aba Huraira, be wari'an, and you become the best worshipper amongst all the people. شوف الورع, how important it is. نعم. And Abu Sulaiman al-Darani said, Al-wara'u awwalu al-zuhd. Al-wara' is the first step to asceticism or zuhud that we spoke about last week. Al-Muhim, he mentioned so much, but we don't want to go. Al-Hasan al-Basri said something very important. He said, an atom weight of wara' better than 1,000 atom of fasting and praying. Here, it doesn't mean the obligatory, yani, the supererogatory, voluntary ibadat. He said, wara' is more important. Why? Because it brings you closer to Allah and purify your heart. There's no use of fasting the days while your heart is dark like, like a black crow. What's the difference? You're not earning, but once you purify your heart with wara, then your worship is most likely to be accepted and extra ibadah. Naam. تعريف الورع. Now we go into the definition of ورع according to الإمام الهروي رحمه الله. يقول صاحب المنازل الورع توقي مستقسا على حذر وتحرج على تعظيم. طيب أوان يعني let's go and translate it a little bit. He said توقي is to stay away. Yeah, that's why التقوى والوقاية توقي it comes from the word وقى توقى وقاية even the تقوى you listen to it, تقوى وقاية what does it mean? التقوى والوقاية and all of this is to put a veil between you and the fire. عرفت التقوى as the person when you see fire you go like this with your hands away from the fire. This in Arabic says, for example, you keep it away from your face. يقي وجهه من النار. يقي وجهه, his face from the fire, by putting his hand in front of the fire. So here التوقي is to stay away, to cover yourself, to shield yourself. That's what التوقي. Here التوقي goes for what? التوقي from the haram and the misconception. The haram and misconception. Now, he said here, Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله commenting, he said, فقط يتوقع العبد الشيء لا على وجه الحذر والخوف. Pay attention. He said, sometimes the person can have tawakki not just because he's worried or fearing. No. He said there are other matters why people have tawakki. We're not talking about taqwa here. I said tawakki. Yani. He said, منها إظهار نزاهة وعزة وتصوف واعتراض من إظهار نزاهة وعزة وتصوف. كيف يعني? He said, from you do this tawakki to show purification. عرفت? And not necessarily to show the people, but to show your nafs, to show Allah that you are a pure person. You don't fall into this shubah and haram. He said, wa'izzah, also with honor. Remember, the honorable person does not lower his standards to do things which are not suitable haram. Let me give you an example. One of the predecessors, he was known to be alim hadith. And ulama al-hadith, they were at high level back in 300, 400 Hijri. They were at high level of izzah wa nazaha, honor, nazaha, purity. Why? So people can trust them in taking the hadith. So he walked into what you call a butchery. And he had no money, yani enough money to eat. So if you had no enough money to eat, what do you buy from the butcher? The head. They usually boil it or barbecue it and eat the head, whatever meat inside. The tongue, the brains, everything, they cook the head. In some countries, it's a delicacy. Egypt, it's called halawiyat, like a delicacy. In Pakistan, it's maghaz. Maghaz in Pakistan. So in some countries, they do eat them. So this sheikh entered, this alim entered to the butcher. And he sat, waiting for him to make him the food. So here, the butcher understands, because back then, everyone was talib ilm. I explained to you before that a muhaddith used to get, back then, 40,000, 50,000 in his lesson. How many of them become famous ulama of hadith? 5, 6. Why? Because the normal commodity back then was ilm. People will attend to seek knowledge. Even if they don't want to become ulama or become mashayikh or become du'at or become anything, it was part of their daily routine is to go and learn. listen to hadith, listen to this part. Every day they used to attend. There's a big alim, everyone goes. Not storyteller, no, ulama, muhaddithin. They open the book of hadith and they read hadith. Eh? Not somebody comes and tell you a story and you don't understand whether it's authentic, sahih, wal-iyadu billah, la. So, everyone would know the alim. And out of these 40,000, probably 10,000 who write hadith. And out of the 10,000, 1,000 take ijazah. And out of that 1,000, probably 100 who teach others. And out of those 100, the ones the ulama give tazkiyah, that they are thiqat, maybe 1 or 2 or 5 or 10 from their own students. Harafna, how it used to work? Even the one who used to sell tomatoes on the street and the butcher, the cleaner, it was compared to today, talibul ilm. Compared to today, was talibul ilm. Now, you say we're going to read, inshallah, Sahih al-Bukhari and interpret it. It starts with 50 people and you finish with 5 people. And by the time Bukhari is over, the sheikh is reading for the jinn. He'll be reading for the jinn. No one turns up except the jinn. So he entered the butcher, al-qassab, they used to call him. He told him, yani, I want ra's, yani, cook it for me. So the butcher realized he's a alim. He said, people like you don't sit here. Go home and I send my boy. Why? Because they used to show idhar izzah. But he was poor. He wanted to eat. He was very hungry. He couldn't get home, you know. He can't take it home and cook it. He's just low. He doesn't have the means. He's very poor. So he wants to eat it inside the butcher shop. He said, someone like you don't sit in the butchery. Go home and I'll send it to you. That is called what? Idharu izzah. So even the crowd would not accept from the alim in these actions. So they'll try to help him to keep their what? Their izzah, which is part of the wara' that is needed to become what? Muhaddith. Part of the wara' that it needed to become what? Muhaddith. أو تحرج على تعظيم كيف يعني يعني هي he's saying يعني أن الباعث على الورع عن المحارم والشبه إما حذر حلول الوعيد وإما تعظيم الرب جل جلاله. He said هي رحمه الله تحرج على تعظيم, meaning الحرج when you feel embarrassed. So you have wara because you are embarrassed. Embarrassed from what? Your ta'zim, your glorification to Allah makes you feel embarrassed not to have wara. Araft? And you can see this parable even in a human. Just imagine you enter an office for a big boss of a big company. And he's got, you know, some people put a lot of, some sweet inside a box, especially if they have diabetes. They put what? Jelly beans and stuff. Yeah, and you're standing in front of the big boss, the CEO of a big company, and you're standing in front of him, and he's asking you a question. Now, he'll tell you, eat. You say, no, thank you very much. Even though, oh, that pink one looks marvelous, man. Or the yellow one, they said, I can taste the lemon in your mouth. But you don't. That's azim. I'm not going to eat in front of the big boss hype. Even though you have the permission. But you won't. So the proper person who has wara, one of the motivators for wara is what? Ta'zim wa ijlal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you feel embarrassed not to have wara. Here Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, فَالْوَرَعُ وَعَلَى الْمَعْصِيَةِ عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ إِمَّا تَخَوُّفٌ أَوْ تَعْظِيمٌ. He said, the wara, from to stay away from the disobedience of Allah, comes because of two motives. The first motive, either fear or ta'zim. Either fear or ta'zim. لا إله إلا الله. قال يعني الإمام الحروي وهو آخر مقام الزهد للعامة وأول مقام الزهد للمريد. Pay attention. Al-Harawi said something beautiful. He said, once you got the wara', if you're a layman, you have reached the highest level of zuhud. He said, last week we spoke about zuhud. This week he said, you know you have reached the highest level of zuhud is when you have wara'. But for the murid, for the traveler, it is the first step of zuhud. Fahimna, go back to last week's lecture and listen to the definition of zuhud. So if you're a murid, يعني the specific, al-khassa, the first step for you on the ladder of zuhud is wara. And if you're a layman, you have reached the pinnacle of zuhud. You with me? Naam. Darajatu al-wara', the different levels of wara', he said. الدرجه الاولى, the first step, تجنب القبائح لصون النفس وتوفير الحسنات وصيانه الايمان. He said, first, to stay away from القبائح, derogatory acts, لصون النفس, to protect the nafs, وتوفير الحسنات, to save lots of حسنات, وصيانة الإيمان, and to protect, preserve, repair your إيمان. What are they? To stay away from the derogatory acts so you can protect your nafs. توفير الحسنات, to save the حسنات, وصيانة الإيمان, and to preserve and protect the إيمان. Let's see what Ibn al-Qayyim said about this. صون النفس, here he said, الصون, أنت تصون شيء, when you preserve and protect. That's why, for example, they say صيانة. In Arabic, صيانة translated today, if you buy a television, you get 2 years warranty. The warranty called in Arabic, in the modern Arabic, صيانة. So صيانة النفس, you have warranty on your nafs. What are you trying to do? To keep it protected. Anything that goes wrong, you repair it straight away. How do you do that? By تجنب القبائح. To stay away from the filthy actions. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim said, صيانة صون النفس هو حفظها وحمايتها عما يشينها. هو حفظها is to preserve it and protect it from whatever lowers it, from whatever degrades it, from whatever brings down its status. Whatever, he said, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, make it looks like low nafs according to Allah and His angels and the rest of the believers, you need to stay away from it. وَأَمَّا تَوْفِيرُ الْحَسَنَاتِ, he said, as for تَوْفِيرُ الْحَسَنَاتِ, he said, there are two ways. The first one, تَوْفِيرُ زَمَانِهِ عَلَى اكْتِسَابِ الْحَسَنَاتِ. Pay attention. You have this time. You either do with this time things that bring you hasanat, or you do with it things that don't bring you hasanat or earn you sayyat. True. Or you busy it with sayyat. Pay attention with me. If you are doing sayyat, you're losing two things. Your loss comes from two ways. The first way is you're earning sayyat. The second one is what? You're missing your time. You're wasting your time. Araft? As for the ones who not earning hasanat or losing سيئة or earning سيئات, they still wasting their time. عرفت؟ So the توفير here is to save your time and to be able to manage your time properly so you can earn as much as you can حسنات. And our ulama, they have halal tricks. Halal tricks where they can double their hasanat. And I leave it to you to research them. I'll give you a little example to يعني work your mind. Come to the masjid, ala wudu. Yes. Pray tahiyyatul masjid 2 rak'at. صح. And have intention it is the 2 rak'at of wudu. And it is tahiyyat al-masjid. So you doubled your reward. Can you do that? Of course, there are some sunan below, other sunan below, other sunan. And they came only in the sunan. I don't want to turn the lesson to fiqh. Only in the sunan. Fahimt? You can put one under the other. You come to the masjid at Fajr time. You make wudu, you meant to make, the sunnah is to make it at home, but let's just say you lost it at home, on the way, you lost your wudu. You come and the iqama just about to start. You have time to pray 2 rak'at sunnah al-fajr. You make wudu, you intend sunnah al-fajr, tahiyyatul masjid, and 2 rak'at wudu. You tripled your reward. صح. There are many things, little things, people can do, can multiply the reward. There are, when the Prophet ﷺ said, for example, there are some tasbihat, they earn so much, which is more than others. So tawfir, manage your time. I'm not talking about to find these little tricks, but what I'm saying is, try to manage your time very well, so you can make as much as you can hasanat. عرفتم إخواني؟ يعني for example, if you have mastered سورة الفاتحة, get 4 or 5 children and teach them the فاتحة في سبيل الله. This is time is multiplied in your dunya and in your grave. عرفت؟ Sometimes teaching a little kid الفاتحة is more rewarding than teaching a book of fiqh. Or things people not usually going to practice anyway. True or not? Not that we don't teach these things. We teach all shara'Allah. But I'm saying, to multiply the reward, you get 10 kids, you teach them the Fatiha, they master the Fatiha. Now every time they have these 10 kids, every time for the rest of their life, they read the Fatiha, you get the reward. عرفنا إخواني. And it's the second part of توفير الحسنات. He said توفير الحسنات المفعولة عن نقصانها. He said now you got the حسنات, good, but you save it so it does not reduce. We did the حسنات, we earned it, it's all banked الحمد لله, but we start doing سيئات and حسنات going down. So you have to stay steadfast so you can keep the حسنات that don't reduce. نعم. أما صيانة الإيمان. أما صيانة الإيمان. He said, why is he have to protect the إيمان? He said, because إيمان, ابن القيم said, according to all أهل السنة, يزيد بالطاعات وينقص بالمعصية. إيمان increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. And this is what the Shafi'i said, and so on and so forth. So, when you don't have wara, you're likely to fall in sin and your iman will decrease. When you have wara', your iman is on a rise all the time. And that's why the interpretation of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. نَي, aran, يعني there are black dots on their heart because of their, what their hands have earned. نعم. قال الشيخ رحمه الله الهروي: وهذه الثلاث الصفات, these three traits, هي في الدرجة الأولى من ورع المريدين. He said, these three traits that I mentioned, that are the first step from the ورع of المريدين. So he's starting with the مريد. أما الدرجة الثانية, he said, يعني ابن القيم said, نعم, ابن القيم said, أن للمريدين درجتين أخريين. He said that means there are two other steps for the مريد. So we finished the first step. ثم ذكرها فقال الدرجة الثانية. He said, then he mentioned it and said, the second درجة, حفظ الحدود عندما لا بأس به, to preserve your limits. عندما لا بأس به. Where you come to the level where something, it's okay for you to do. It is accepted for you to do. So you preserve your limits. We'll explain it. The second, إبقاء على الصيانة والتقوى, to remain on the siyana and piety. وصعودا عن الدناءة, and to rise from دناءة. الدناءة is the lowness. نعم. وتخلصا عن اقتحام الحدود, and you purify yourself from striking the حدود, the limits. وتخلصا عن اقتحام الحدود, يعني you purify yourself from bursting, crushing into the limits or the borders. نعم. Let's go to the first part. حفظ الحدود عندما لا بأس به. نعم. ابن القيم said, the first step really from the steps of ورع, one of the first steps, أن يترك كثيرا مما لا بأس به من المباح. He said, the scholars would say, is for you to abandon a lot of what is accepted from المباح. Things which are mubaha, you rather refrain from doing it. And a lot of it. إبقاءً على صيانته. Why? So he can preserve the صيانة. We already interpreted صيانة. وخوفاً عليها أن يتكدر صفوها ويطفأ نورها. He said, fearing that this صيانة of إيمان inside the heart, that its purity will become tainted. And the light will become extinguished. He said, because lara the mubah, yukaddiru safwa siyana. Because lara the mubah, this siyana, yukaddiruha, yani put, taints the heart. Kif yani lara the mubah taints the heart? Yani, let's just say it's mubah for you to go and sit and have a coffee. Some brothers, the every day after the Salat al-Isha, go hang out in the cocktail shop or hang out there or hang out there. صح. هذا يكدر صفوها. Even it's مباح. Ibn al-Qayyim, رحمه الله, said even intimacy, according to them, يعني, for example, between husband and wife, some men, يعني, twice a day, three times a day, he is saying, Ibn al-Qayyim said this, said, يعني, some people, that what occupies their mind, intimacy. عرفت, it's just, even though it's مباح, but he said, يُكَدِّرُ صَفْوَ النَّفْسِ. عرفت, if you keep thinking about this stuff, يُكَدِّرُ صَفْوَ النَّفْسِ. Many things that we do, like for example, it's مباح to eat, but there's some brothers always on the hunt for the best meal. And who makes the best burger in Sydney? Good bias, brothers, but you know, who makes the best kebab in Sydney? That's their... Who makes the best dessert? And you see them, are they, عرفت, they travel all the way to city here, they to eat the best dessert. Even if it is halal, when I want to say it's haram. بس هذا يكدر صفوها. عرفت. يعني once you've done it, twice you've done it, alhamdulillah, but become regular habit. قال لي يوما شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. He said, شيخ الإسلام one day said to me, في شيء من المباح, He was Ibn al-Qayyim doing something from the Mubah. He said to him, هَذَا يُنَافِي الْمَرَاتِبَ الْعَالِيَةِ. Of course, his teacher is telling student, this goes against the highest of levels. So, يعني Ibn al-Qayyim, you're a naughty boy. Rahimahullah. Don't do this Mubah. Don't do this haram. So don't do this Mubah because it goes against the highest of levels. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ تَرْكُهُ شَرْطًا فِي النَّجَاةِ. He said, even abandoning it, not a condition for success. يعني, if you do this act, it doesn't mean you're not going to succeed. You will succeed. But if you want the highest level, stay away from it. You understand the difference? So you'll be doing something perfectly halal. Perfectly halal. Here I said, you don't need to indulge yourself too much. Now. فَالْعَارِفُ يَتْرُكُ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْمُبَاحِ إِبْقَاءً عَلَى صِيَانَتِهِ. العارف, the one who reached the ma'rifa in Allah, he leaves law halal so he can preserve or she can preserve it, her or his صيانة. نعم. وَلَا سِيَّمَا إِذَا كَانَ ذَلِكَ الْمُبَاحِ بَرْزَخًا بَيْنَ الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. He said, and it becomes more important if this mubah, the border limit between the halal and the haram. There is a mubah border limits. If you cross it, you fall into the haram. He said, that mubah, you'll stay away from it. Because it becomes more important for the arif to stay away from that mubah. Ibn al-Qayyim said, the difference between the first level, the first step, and this step, the first one, you are working on attaining siyana. As for this step, you are working on keeping the siyana. Fahim? The first step, the elements that he mentioned, you are working to attain siyana. He said, this one, you are working on what? Preserving the siyana. He said, وَأَمَّا التَّخَلُّ وَأَمَّا الصَّعُودُ عَنِ الدَّنَاءَ. He said, as for rising from the dana'a, the lowness, he said, is to stay away and you elevate yourself from its path and its action. Any amal that is considered dani', you stay away and you stay right above it. Araft? And how do we know an action that is dani'? Usually by the custom of the Muslimin, or our custom, araft, we see action that is dani'a. Then we stay away from al-a'mal al-dani'a wal-iyadhu billah. He said, وَأَمَّا التَّخَلُّصُ عَنِ اقْتِحَامِ الْحُدُودِ. As for you to strip and purify yourself from bursting or attacking the borders, he said, al-hudud is the nihayat. Oh, he mentioned the hudud, the sheikh. Al-hudud is the border, it's the end. You travel until you reach the borders of a country, because that's the end where this country ends. He said here, you purify yourself. Here, why he said at-takhallus? That means you remove any possibility. It become very hard, almost impossible for you to cross the lines, to cross the borders. That's what he said. وَهِيَ مَقَاطِعُ الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. So, imagine with me, a line, that is the border. Before that line, another line. That is what? Al-Mubah. So you are staying one step before the Mubah. What is your likeliness to burst through the borders? Very hard. True or not? So if you preserve yourself, you're ready to takhallas from what? The borders. Because sometimes you can indulge in the mubah, but you keep indulging and you keep penetrating into the mubah until you hit the borders of the haram. And this is when you have a problem. He said, no, you have to make sure there is always distance between you and the haram. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pay attention to the ayat, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Pay attention. This is the borders of Allah, which is the haram. He said, he didn't say, do not cross it. He said, no, stay away from it. يعني you keep a buffer zone between you and the borders. A red zone between you and the borders. And if you put that red zone, that means where you're standing? In the mubah. But because we're humans and we forget and the shaitan plays in our hand, sometimes we cross that red buffer zone. But you have to be careful. Don't hit the borders. When you are at that time, don't hit the border. And here he said, as for the person who come really close, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. This is the hudud of Allah, so do not cross it. There's another warning. The first warning, لَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. The second warning is, فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. That's why the first warning came in verse 187 from Surah Al-Baqarah. The next one came, 229, which is later. لا تقربوها ولا تعتدوها. So, in this ayat, Ibn al-Qayyim said, المولى عز وجل is saying, لا تتعدوا ما أبحت لكم. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the relation with the woman, He speaks, لا تتعدوا. Why? Because you are in the halal, but it's easy for you to cross to haram, oppress the woman, so on and so forth. And same thing he said here, لا تقربوا ما حرمت عليكم. As for the haram, you stay, you keep big distance. So here, لا تتعدوا ما أبحت لكم. Do not cross the borders with whatever I made halal for you. As for the haram, do not come near it. You see? So the haram, you do not come near it. The halal, you practice it, but be careful, don't cross the line. The third level. التورع عن كل داعية تدعو إلى شتات الوقت والتعلق بالتفرق وعارض يعارض حال الجمع. He said, التورع عن كل داعية تدعو إلى شتات الوقت. التورع, to have ورع, from every call that calls you to waste your time. You stay away from every call that calls you. يعني كيف؟ يعني Abdullah, whenever you with Abdullah, you're wasting your time. But you can be with Abdullah, but not waste your time. صح؟ You say, if you are at the second daraja, you say it's mubah to be with Abdullah. We go have, inshallah, once a month, once a week, we have a drink with Abdullah and sit down. And he's not, nothing wrong with that. But if you are at the third step, and that's hardly practiced, is تتورع. If Abdullah is wasting your time, you have تورع from mixing with Abdullah. Why? Because he is a da'iyah to waste your time. He's a da'iyah to what? To waste your time. يعني the da'i himself, you avoid him. Facebook is a da'iyah to waste your time, true or not? Da'iyah. You could say it is for da'wah, brother. It's a da'iyah to waste your time. Unless you really have an organization and you're advertising, but it's a, in its essence, is a da'iyah to what? To waste your time. Today I caught a train in to Sydney. I was just listening to a lecture, and not Dean lecture, some other lectures to do with my studies. And I just reflected on the people. Everyone sitting on their phone. In the whole carriage, everyone sitting on their phone. They're sitting on their phone. And that you can tell they're not reading, they're just flipping. either Facebook, Instagram, whatever. One person was reading a book. The rest, on the phone. You'd say, subhanAllah. I used to catch the train 15 years ago. Every second person was carrying a book. Regardless whether they're reading, biography, rubbish reading, science fiction, or good reading, whatever it is the reading, but you're reading. Because no matter what type of reading you do, it stimulates your brains. It informs you, it better your English, it better your language, it better your understanding, it increases your imagination, it makes you think, it makes you a different person. And it doesn't matter what you read. As long as you're reading, you're exercising your brains and your imagination. Now, people are not, they're not reading books. They're on their phones. So that's da'iyah to what? To shatat al-waqt. Of course, we cheat ourselves. Oh, we can download. Did you know we can download books, Sheikh, on the phone and we can read it? Okay. Habibi, I downloaded on Kindle, what do they call it? Kindle, 3, 4 books, 5 books, and I paid for them. I never read one of them. I only read from a proper book. Yani, some people can read, but yani, but what we're trying to say, how shatat al waqt. So you don't avoid wasting time, you avoid the da'i of wasting time. The da'i himself, you avoid. You know how much I battled that when I sit on my computer, I only concern myself with the work that I'm doing on the computer, not go and start surfing the net on different sites, reading news here. Subhanallah. هذا داعي لشتات الوقت. It become hard. The more we have luxuries and entertainment, the more you are wasting time. You don't feel it, but that's how the society runs. When the more your life is basic, the more you are able to do work. Imagine there is no, I know, there's no television. Just imagine. What is the source of entertainment for people? Reading. Reading. The biggest entertainment, once a week you get that. Muppet show, Jazakallah Khair, yes. Yani, once a Muppet show. People think I'm 70. No, but yani, we read history. Arafat. Or in our country, they used to call al-qassas, old people who, they sit down and listen to fibs and stories and smoke argila, but that used to be long time. But muhim, but the general public, everyone reads. That was the source of entertainment. To read and use your imagination. شتات الوقت إخواني. والتعلق بالتفرق. He said, فإنه, he said, الفرق بين الشتات والتعلق والتوقع الفرق بين السبب والمسبب. He said, نعم. Now, the داعية of شتات الوقت, what happens after you answer the call of داعية of شتات الوقت? تتعلق بالتفرق. نعم. So what happens? You attach yourself with spreading. What does it mean? Dispersing. يعني كيف? Once you answer the call of the da'iyah of شتات الوقت, what happened? You start attaching yourself with things that waste your time. عرفت? So when you attach yourself, like for example, we come from Turkish, Arabic, Lebanese, Pakistani background. We all know that our family watch what? Musalsalat, soap, television show, dramas and all of that, the Turkish Musalsal. My dad was telling me 300 episodes. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim. Where are you going to get the time for 300 episodes? And I visit my father, and they've got it dublage in Arabic. So dubbed, yes. They do dubbing with Arabic. And I say, subhanAllah. They're not Turks. They look like Europeans.
It's like they choose the most beautiful men and the most beautiful women that people can sit on television. 300 halaqa. And the whole thing is boring in the last 5 minutes. They make it exciting so you can come back again. And I'm sure India and Pakistan have the same thing. And Arabs, Habibi, there's millions. Every week there's a new one. And Netflix. Shagolin. So, tata'allaq. Because you have the da'iya in your house, all what it takes is once or twice to answer the call of the da'iya, and then you're hooked. Like brothers with footy. Huh? All what it takes is for you, one or two. Khalas. I'm talking, ikhwani, third level. That's why I told you it's very hard to attain. I'm not talking that everyone can do this. This is the highest level in wara. Araft? Fishing. Yeah, Shaykh, I'm not saying it's haram. But it's da'iya. The brother goes, because once he catches a big fish. Sheikh, we caught a jui like this. Then, next day, this is what happened. First, he answered the da'iya. That's the reason. The next day, he's got $500 in his pocket. He goes buying a good rod, good reel, good dana. Khalas, ta'allaq. He got hooked. With the fishing hook. See how things... Of course, it's very hard for you not to answer the call of da'iya. We all fall into it. But that's why he mentioned that as the third level. وَعَارِضٌ يُعَارِضُ حَالَ الْجَمْعِ He said, هِيَ أَنْ يَسْتَغْرِقَ الْعَبْدُ شُهُودَ فَنَائِهِ فِي التَّوْحِيدِ وجمعيته على الله تعالى فيه عن كل حال يعارض هذا الفناء والجمعية. المهم, this point is talking about الفناء. We spoke about it previously so many times. He said, والورع from every حال, every situation, every status that goes against or affects your witnessing the fana is for you to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's work in everything and to feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala present with you in every moment. Huh? You feel the presence of Allah, not in His essence, no, wal'iyadu billah, but the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this very hard to attain. And said here, to have wara for anything that could interrupt shuhud al-fana. Araft? Of course, that is, it can be said, it can be imagined, but it can be reached. It's a very high status that is very, very difficult to reach. Huh? Of course, here doesn't mean the shaykh, he means that you're going to be in that jam'iyyah 24/7, but he said, the times that you're usually in jam'iyyah where you feel the presence of Allah with you, he said, you try to have wara from everything that could interrupt this. And with this, alhamdulillah, we finished the status of wara. Next week we'll speak about tabattul. واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا. Talk about that next week, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.